Like I said, this is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It's presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. They pay for this podcast so you don't have to. Quick words on Brandon Legal Group. They're a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. They welcome you to reach out for a free consult either at brandonlegalgroup.com or by calling 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Pin Chasers, four locations in Tampa to serve you, including one that I visited within the last couple of weeks, right near the Brandon Legal Group offices. It's their newer location in Brandon. Terrific staff. A manager named Cheyenne. Her name tag says Shy, C-H-E-Y. If you need extra assistance when visiting the Brandon location of Pin Chasers, follow Pin Chasers for daily specials at Pin Chasers on Instagram. For lane reservations, party planning, go to pinchasers.net. Remember, you never pay to rent shoes to bowl at Pin Chasers. That money stays in your pocket. Pin Chasers, bowling, food, and fun. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. I hope whether it was just amongst your friends at your Super Bowl party or playing legally in terms of actual wagers on the Super Bowl, my advice specific to the game from this podcast, from the final edition of season two of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, and kind of what I told you all year long did benefit you. I feel very good about that, that I was able to give you quality opinions about what I thought teams were going to do, successful teams, not so successful teams, the ceiling on some teams, the likelihood the Chiefs would get right to the finish line and fall flat, that the Eagles were a worthy title contender this year. Their path seemed clear to me if they were able to get past the Rams, which they did, although the Rams amazingly just kept hanging around in that game. And even friends of mine were talking Sunday night how the Rams had the ball a minute to go, roughly the 20-yard line, down six. It was there for the Rams, much as Bills against the Chiefs, AFC Championship, down three, 3:33 to go. No rush, can stop the clock three times, and ignored James Cook completely. So rather than recap what did go as I expected, the Chiefs controlled, if we can say that, although that pass to get near the goal line to Saquon Barkley was one of Barkley's more significant plays. It wasn't like the Chiefs' defense took Barkley out of the game. They prevented Barkley from dominating the game. And the Chiefs committing so many resources to preventing Barkley from controlling the game left them vulnerable in other areas. This has been a postseason, and I addressed this on a previous Todd Wright Toddcast, where a lot of people unhappy with results like to complain. And I gave you the word for those people. And the theme coming out of the Super Bowl that they're complaining about is who won MVP, which is another lame complaint. I get that Jalen Hurts wasn't a clear choice for most valuable player of the game. However, he threw the ball exactly as many times as he had averaged throwing the ball in every game he started and finished since the last time he started and finished a game the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers. We told you the number was 22. He was incomplete on what, four of them, and threw a pick on a third and long where the Eagles might have not even tried a long field goal with Jake Elliott at that point. It was early in the game. He never fumbled. He executed the tush push. He had a lot of key runs into the heart of the Kansas City defense that were clearly either by design or an option for him based on the play call, based on the game planning that kept moving the chains significantly for the Eagles on scoring drives and allowed the Eagles to just maintain time of possession, keep the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes on the bench, whether the Eagles were building their lead or they weren't. Also, it's just easy for those involved with games like this to just point at a quarterback and highlight him. It's done by people who vote for awards like this. It's done by television crews with their player of the game. It's just easy. And it is relative to how impactful the quarterback is to whether a team wins or loses. The quarterback and the head coach are the two most important elements of all of this in football at the highest levels. It also would have taken, would I have minded a split defensive vote or even a split defensive and Jalen Hurts vote? No. But you then need to get all these media members on the same page to do like the same thing. They're not going to do that. They're busy. They're not. You're paying more attention to this than they are, even though they have the vote. So you can make a case for Sweat, Cooper, Bond, sure, Hurts. It's MVP. It's an award. It's a trip to Disney World. It was the thing once the people who complained that the Chiefs win too much weren't able to complain about that. Now this is what they're complaining about. Again, the word to describe those people was in a previous podcast, and I stand by it. While Super Bowl 57 was defined by a late call, but in my opinion, two big plays that both went the Chiefs' way, talked about that on a previous podcast, this game was just domination. And domination by the Eagles without Barkley being as dominant as he had been in the previous two postseason games for the Eagles and many of the regular season games. So did the Chiefs accomplish their goal in not letting Saquon Barkley beat him? While Barkley did account for nearly 100 yards, keeping the clock running, maintaining that big time of possession, still having some productive runs, that productive passing play, it was all part of the formula for Philadelphia. So while the Chiefs accomplished, I guess, at least some of their goal, that Saquon Barkley didn't beat them, they committed too much to do that and were beaten by Jalen Hurts having the ball in his hands, whether Hurts was running it or throwing it, accounting for more rushing yards than any quarterback in a Super Bowl in National Football League history and being very efficient with a high completion percentage, throwing the ball despite the big time possession, the exact number he had averaged in any game he had started and finished since his last loss very early in the season to the Buccaneers. So let me offer one more thought here for those of you who have been interested in what I said all along about how the Chiefs would get to the Super Bowl and lose it. And that would be Andy Reid's last game. Now, some of you and some who I respect have brought up how it bubbled up during Super Bowl week with both Mr. Hunt, who's what, the chairman, owner, whatever you want to call him. He's in charge of the Chiefs. The Hunt family has been in charge of the Chiefs for a long time. Very respected. Also, I believe, right, own 11% of the Chicago Bulls, either did or still do. And Andy Reid saying, you know, no, I'm not retiring. Okay. I hope not. I've made this clear before. Football's more fun for people like Andy Reid being involved. Whether you think the Chiefs win too much or not. Yeah, I know a lot of Eagles fans, they're very happy. And they were happy for Andy Reid when he won in Kansas City. They're still happy for him. They're happy they beat him this time. They lost to him 2 years ago. They beat him this time. But I don't hear a lot of Eagle fans who are, you know, well, it's just Andy didn't get it done here. It was time for the Eagles to do something different and for Andy to do something different. And Andy's he's a terrific personality. Yes, I've been around him a little bit. We're not on a first name basis. I have a lot of respect for him as a human being and also as a football coach. I still think that was his last game. And you're saying, well, he said, yeah, they say these things until they don't apply. So just keep an eye and an ear out. Because if this happens, it's going to go down somewhere before the draft. Some personal reasons given. I gave it more thought. You know, want to spend more time with my family. In the Jimmy Johnson book, one of the things that Jimmy writes about was, it was actually pretty enlightening what he said about Wayne Huizenga, who I think was pretty universally hated by a lot of people, not by Jimmy Johnson. You know, maybe it was just Jimmy comparing Wayne to Jerry. You know, and how Wayne did anything Jerry wanted and did nothing that Jimmy didn't want. But Wayne always reminded Jimmy Johnson, and I saw the Fox tribute, is that it for Jimmy Johnson on Fox? Was a very unique, technologically especially, tribute to the football career of Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy talked about how Wayne Huizenga convinced him to think about QTL, quality time left in life. How much do you have? How do you want to spend it? And it was part of why Jimmy, when he left the Dolphins, never coached again and did go back to Fox for a second stint. And you saw in that tribute, Jimmy talked about, you know, how his football career ends with his Fox family. So, and the Fox family, you know, they do some good things. You can also reference Joe Buck's autobiography called Lucky Bastard for what Fox management and Fox people meant to Joe Buck throughout his run there. So, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point here soon, Andy Seitz gave it more thought, personal reasons, family, want to spend time this way, time for me to step away. I hope I'm wrong. And I hope Andy continues to coach. Football is more fun with Andy Reid involved. But I stand by what I've said all along, that I thought this would be Andy Reid's last season. And just stay tuned. So, before I turn the page, I just wanted to look back a little bit. Some said, are you going to do a podcast where you spike the football? No, it's implied. I had a good run this year with picking division winners, 8 of 8. Playoff winners against the spread, 8 of 8. The last 8 playoff games was what, 2-3 in the first 5 on wild card weekend. Then once we got to Monday night, of Wild Card Weekend, I never missed again against the spread. And by the way, we never had a team in these playoffs win that trailed at halftime. There was no big comeback. You know, one of my better friends in the business, you know, said, like, he cited once we got into the second half, and he brought up the 28-3 and said, it's not over. And even I posted on his Facebook, I said, yeah, it is over. There was no big comeback. Really, the biggest sort of comeback, right? I guess you could say Washington. And the Bucks, what was that at half? Was Washington actually up at the half against the Bucks? Were we tied? What was going on there? Should I go take a look at that? Hang on. I actually am going to research that, but I thought I had looked this all up. Hope you appreciate what I'm doing in real time here. You know, even the Chargers in that first game against the Texans gave up that late touchdown to the Texans when the Chargers could have had a much bigger lead. The Texans had a halftime lead. So let's do Commanders, Buccaneers, because we all remember how the Commanders won the game at the end. 23-20. Yeah, we were tied at half, 10-10. No team that trailed at halftime came back to win in the entire NFL postseason. And one of the things, remember, I said going into the Super Bowl was, I respect how the Chiefs keep winning all these close games, but what happens when they're not in a close game? And we saw that 4 years ago against the Buccaneers, and this one looked a lot like it. The Chiefs will now again attempt to fix their offensive line problems, wait on who actually will be their head coach. I'm waiting for confirmation. Some potential retirements, other manipulation of the salary cap, changes to the wide receiver position. I will say, yeah, Xavier Worthy turned out better than I thought. I'm not talking about for those that say, well, he padded his numbers late in the game. Late in the season, Worthy touched the ball significantly and consistently. Better than I thought. He held up better physically than I thought. He still needs to get stronger. That's been one of the strengths of Tyreek Hill, another very fast player. Not as small as Worthy. It's one thing when you're fast to run away from guys, but it's still the National Football League. You got to hold up physically. And Worthy did. And was not an issue. There were times he looked lazy with his footwork and some other things and could have made more plays. But that's to Andy Reid's credit, Patrick Mahomes' credit, Matt Nagy's credit. They knew how to use the guy. Keon Coleman came on at times for the Bills, but at least through the first season, edge, Chiefs, and Worthy for that deal. It's not the reason the Bills lost to the Chiefs. But Worthy was better than Coleman when you look at that pick and how the Bills traded out of that spot and the Chiefs got Worthy. Worthy wasn't the reason why the Chiefs beat the Bills this year. Keon Coleman wasn't the reason the Bills lost to Worthy and the Chiefs. Worthy just had the better year. Worthy looks like the more impactful player going into year two. I hope both of these guys are productive in year two and beyond. I can see it happening. But yeah, Worthy was better. So I'll leave it here since I feel like I've only talked for a few minutes and we're already up to about 20 minutes. So we close the book on the 2024-2025 National Football League season. And we'll start looking at ahead and at some other things, as this is not an exclusive football podcast. It's a podcast about anything I want to talk about, as I often said on my national radio shows, sports, entertainment, pop culture, and daily life. And that seemed to be very popular for the years that I did it on national radio, and I will continue to do that here on the podcast. I had a thought just based on all the good things that I had said on this podcast for this football season to just, and I've been doing the podcast now for almost 10 years, just like I've been doing my golf tournaments for almost 10 years. I hosted my 50th golf tournament the weekend before the Super Bowl this year. Sometimes it falls on the Saturday before the Super Bowl. I just got to position it before an event in Tampa called Gasparilla and Super Bowl. It's got to fit somewhere in there. Much like I don't know how much longer I'm going to host golf tournaments, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do podcasts. It depends on the response. It depends on what's next for me, if there is something next for me. So I had this thought, can you really do any better than you just did leading up to this Super Bowl, talking about what might happen in these games, and just say that's enough? I had that thought. I decided to keep going. So, not sure how long, but deciding, at least for now, to keep going. So, thank you for listening. I'll do it. You know, what did Billy Joel say a while back? And granted, he doesn't do shows anymore. How long are you going to keep playing concerts in Madison Square Garden? And Billy said, as long as they keep buying tickets. Now, eventually, Billy said, yeah, I'm good. That's enough. At some point, I guess I'll say the same thing about doing podcasts and hosting golf tournaments. But it's treated me really well for almost 10 years. So let's go a little bit longer. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. And if it wasn't for Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers paying me for this podcast so you don't have to pay for this podcast, I wouldn't do it anyway. So I thank them, and you should thank them as well. Talk to you next time.